Bible. So hopefully you have done that. And if you have, I want you to turn. Last week we started this study called The Fences of Offenses, talking about how that the fences that we build as a result of being offended, they serve many times to keep the good stuff out and the bad stuff in. And so we're talking about offenses, how they happen, how we respond to them, the way we should respond biblically. And so we're gonna go into that a little bit tonight. And we started out in Matthew chapter 18, and we went from verse number 1 through 7. But I'm going to backtrack on you. I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 17. I understand when the Bible was written, it was not written with the divisions of chapters and verses. That is something that the translators added for easy reference. So many times, though, we start out a particular chapter, we have to go back a little bit and kind of find the context, if you will, of some of those conversations, especially when he's dealing with Jesus and the disciples and the many conversations that he has with them. And this is one of those cases where as I went back and I looked at it, one of the things, and it just we'll probably get into a little bit later on into the study, I looked at the beginning of Matthew chapter 18, and I wanted to know why Jesus was focusing upon children so much. I wanted to find out. They ask, you know, the disciples are going back and forth, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus brings a little child. I'm paraphrasing and says, if you become as a child, that's the greatest in the kingdom. And he also talks about not offending one of these. It's better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck and you were cast into the midst of the sea. But literally for the first six verses of chapter 18, Jesus is dealing with children. I kind of have an idea, and we'll probably get into that at a later time. But I wanted to know, and so I went back into chapter number 17, and I begin to read chapter number 17. And then something completely different I shouldn't say completely different, along the line of offense, but having to do with how we respond or how we make sure we don't offend. And so I want to draw your attention to that. It begins in chapter 17, verse number 24, Matthew 17, verse 24. A familiar story probably for Sunday school kids, those of you that maybe grew up and heard the story about the money in the fish's mouth. And this is the account of where that takes place in the Bible, but it's interesting to know that whole scene, if you will, or that whole story in the Bible has to do with offenses. I'll show you. And so I want you to read, start in verse number 24. We're going to read down through the passage, and then I'm going to kind of break it up verse by verse and show you how that what Jesus is dealing with prior to Matthew chapter number 18 is how you and I go about making sure we don't offend. Okay? Verse number 24. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him. Now, interesting fact, we'll explore this a little bit later. The only time in all the Bible that word prevented is used. The Greek word that is translated prevented, only time in all the Bible that that word is used. So, we'll look at it a little bit later. Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them." Look what Jesus says. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. So if you were going to title the lesson tonight, you would title it, "Lest we should offend." Jesus says, "Lest we should offend them, Peter." We'll get into a little bit more. What Jesus is saying, listen, Peter, this is not an obligatory thing. This is not a mandatory thing. Then are the children free. This is not something we have to do, Peter. You need to understand this. Notwithstanding, nevertheless, lest we should offend them, here's what you do. Go to the sea, cast a hook in, and take thee up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. This is what happens. This is what transpires right before in the house, when they were having the discussion about who's the greatest in the kingdom, Jesus brings a child. This event happens just prior to that. And Jesus is trying to teach the disciples, namely Peter, a valuable lesson, lest we should offend. So if you want to find a biblical prescription, if you will, as to how you and I can go about making sure that we do not offend others, here's an example. Here's a great lesson. Here's a story. And it has to do with the money in the fish's mouth, but it has to do with Jesus making sure Peter understands we're not in the business of offending people. Now, I realize in our society, in our day and age, some people think that's what we Christians are all about. We're just all about offending people. We're just all about, you know, bludgeoning people with the Bible and offending them for what they want to do and how they want to live and all those other things. And let me just say this. We'll explore this a little later on in the lesson. Do not think that when I'm talking about offenses, that you and I choosing not to be offended doesn't or means that we do not address right and wrong. That's not what I'm saying. Just because we choose not to be offended doesn't mean we accept wrong. It has to do with how we handle it. We're going to talk about that. But I want us to look at a biblical example and a prescription for you and I, lest we should offend. How do we make sure? If we want to be Christ-like and we want to be Christians and we want to do what Jesus did in responding to others. How do we do so in a biblical way so we're not offending others? Here it is. So let's take it verse by verse. Verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" I love the way they ask the question. Doth not your master pay tribute? I think it, maybe even last week somebody said it's amazing how that some people can even ask a question with the intent of offending you. They ask the question because it's bait. it's like that proverbial carrot on a stick trying to get you to run after it. That's why the Bible says, listen, avoid foolish and unlearned questions because they gender strife. You have to be careful what you give attention to. And here these collectors come to Peter. The Bible says they've come to Capernaum. It says the house. Many commentators believe that it is Peter's house, that they have come to Simon Peter's house. And they approach Peter and say, "Hey, doth not your master pay tribute?" Now let's just face it. People thrive on being able to offend. They do. It's in our human nature. You can test this for yourself. Go sometime to a food court in a mall and sit by around any people that are talking, and you will find the most of the time when people are talking about wrongs done, they are not speaking in reference to themselves. They are not speaking about what they've done wrong or how they've committed things. It's usually what so-and-so did or what that person did or how they did that or how this happened. And so it's in our human nature. We thrive on the ability to offend. You know why we do that? Because it makes us feel better about ourselves. It makes us feel more righteous to be aggravated at the behavior of other people. It's that moral equivalence. It's that I'm not as bad as they are. It's that I feel good about myself because I can feel bad about them because they've given me reason. Doth not your master pay tribute? He's got a following. He's identified. You call him master. You call him teacher. Certainly he's teaching you boys that you should be paying tribute. Doth not your master pay tribute? And it's true. Just like I believe it was the intent of these guys. It is true. Some people intentionally try to offend you. They want you to be offended. I got a question on the church Facebook page the other day. Someone moved into the area and immediately they identified themselves. I am LGBT plus whatever, and I want to know, does your congregation accept people like me? dangling it out there, boy. Let me hear what he's going to say. And how I responded was this. We accept everybody the way they are. We expect if they stay long enough, there'll be a change. I didn't say that. I knew what the bait was. I knew what they were fishing for. They wanted to be offended. It was like they would thrive on it. That's the reason why I don't go to church. I came to that town and sent all these messages. I am who I am. Do you accept me? And not one of them accepted me. We accept everybody the way they are. We do. And if you come, and I hope that you do, and you stay around for a while, you'll find out that all of us have experienced elements of change in our life from when we first came. But I get it. There are people out there, and especially when it comes to you, and especially when it comes to spiritual warfare, and especially when it comes to their spirit against your spirit, they will intentionally try to offend you. They want you to get upset because it gives them validity for how they feel. They want you to be mad at them. They want you to strike at them. They want you to bludgeon them with the Bible so they can tell you you're like everybody else. You're not loving. Doth not your master pay tribute? Even the way they ask the question. Formed to indicate that, hey, we're looking to find accusation against him. It's amazing. It's how gossip works. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear about this? It's those leading questions. It's those things that, it's that bait. It's putting it out there. No, they did what? I never. It's those things. I'm going to be careful here, but over the years, there are many screenshots and text messages and Facebook posts that I, as pastor, have completely ignored. You know why? It ain't worth my time. I know what's going on. I know the motive behind it. I know what they're trying to do. Screenshot. Can you believe this? Say that. You want me to jump down in the mud? I ain't gonna do it. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I'm not taking the bait. And as long as the good Lord helps me, I hope never to take the bait. I don't care how much in my flesh I want to. I hope that I am able to live above that and understand. And I'm not trying. I know where it's coming from. It's that question. It's that. And here's what you and I have to ask ourselves when it comes to this kind of behavior. If I start asking the question, am I really concerned and do I really want to help? I'm going to say that. Man, I got real quiet in here. If you're going to ask the question, your motive better be that you want to help and you're really concerned. If you want to ask the question because you want to shed some light somewhere else so you can stay in the shadow, I got no time for that. What's the motive of the question? Why am I asking the question? I say that all the time. It has to do with our motive. Why am I asking the question? Did you hear about so-and-so? No, I didn't. Why are you asking? Oh, well, because I thought you needed to know. Why do I need to know? Well, because... I'm going to move on. Here's the thing. They ask the question, doth not your master pay tribute? It could be translated, is your master going to pay tribute? Peter says, yes. But we understand by the ensuing conversation, Jesus hasn't paid tribute yet. Doth not your master pay tribute? Yes, he does. And then I kind of think Peter starts questioning himself.
pay? Will he pay? Should he pay? Should I even approach the subject with him? I don't know. If he does it, surely he would. He's my master. Surely he teaches us to. Surely he's going to pay? Yeah, he's going to pay. Yes, he's going to pay. The Bible doesn't give us all the nuances sometimes of the conversation. We weren't there. We can't see the facial expression. We don't know exactly. We only know that Peter said, yes, he's going to pay. But at that point in time, we understand Jesus had not paid. The tribute had not been paid. Now, here's the thing. Remember last week when we talked about what are some of the things that cause us to be offended? And somebody said unmet expectations. Maybe Peter had an expectation that Jesus would have already paid, and the fact that Jesus had not troubled him. Wait a second. I would expect that he would have paid. I said yes, but I'm not sure. I'm not even sure that there's a lot of things that they talk about in the law and a lot of things that Jesus instructs us in reference to. You know, they got upset when we're walking through the fields and grabbing wheat with our hands. And I don't really know. I don't know if Jesus, I said yes, and I hope he will. But what if he doesn't? What if I told these guys he's going to pay and he doesn't pay? What if it's going to be one of those teachable moments where Jesus looks at me and says, hey, Peter, you're wrong. Now I've told these guys that he's going to pay? Man, there's maybe some unmet expectation here. So not only are we dealing with a possible offense of the collectors, we're dealing with a possible offense of Peter. Where Peter now has some questions as to whether or not Jesus is going to pay. I told him yes, but I don't know. I don't know if he will. You see, when it comes to things like this, when it comes to questions, we've got to be careful. Understand this. The enemy thrives on unresolved questions. Catch this. Look at verse 25. He saith, yes, that's what Peter responded. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? What are you thinking, Simon? Jesus knows what he's thinking. The Bible says Jesus prevented him. Now, it doesn't say it specifically, but I wonder if Jesus stood at the door and said, hey, before you come in, we need to talk. The Bible says Jesus prevented him. And when Peter was come to the house, Jesus prevented him and asked him a question. What thinkest thou, Simon? What are you thinking about? You see, Jesus understood that there's an opportunity here, not only in the sense of offending the collectors, there's an opportunity if I leave these questions unresolved in Peter's mind, there is an opportunity for Peter to become offended. If I don't resolve these questions that he's thinking, he's probably considering whether or not he's even going to talk to me about it. I already know it took place. I already know it happened. And now Peter's about to come into the house, but before he does, hey, Pete, what you thinking about, man? Listen, let me just say it this way, and I hope you'll understand the analogy. Most commentaries said that this was Peter's house. We don't know that for sure. It's come to Capernaum, into the house. It stands a reason that's where Peter lived. It stands a reason it might have been Peter's house himself. Jesus prevents him from coming in, if you will. Peter is probably questioning whether or not Jesus is going to pay this tribute. He told them yes, but it hasn't happened yet. So he's about to enter into his house with unresolved question, and Jesus says, wait a second, Pete, we need to talk. We need to discuss these questions in your mind. Let me just make this simple statement. We need to be very careful what questions we bring home with us. When it comes to our walk in relationship with God, and when it comes to our walk in relationship with people of God, we have to be very careful what questions we bring home. Because there are been numerous times that people have been offended by what the pastor preached or what was said to them, and then they come home, and if they're not careful, they start questioning. He talked to me about praying, I wonder how much he prays. He talked to me about giving, I wonder how much he gives. He said about, well, I wonder this, and I want, be careful what questions you bring home. Be careful what you allow into your house when it comes to conversation about the things of God and the people of God and the church of God. Be very, very careful. Because if you start bringing a lot of unresolved questions because of offense, what you're going to start doing is building fences in your own home between your family and the church of God and the people of God. We may not like that, but that's true. So I wonder if maybe that's why Jesus said, hey, Pete, before you come in, we got to talk. You have some unresolved questions in your mind, and you're questioning. I don't want you to bring those things in here. You need to get them resolved before they cause damage. Unresolved questions cause damage. The question itself leaves the room open, leaves the door open for my own interpretation or my own idea or my own thoughts concerning how that should be or what should be. And so all these unresolved questions begin to circulate in my mind. And if I'm not careful, that's why I'm telling you, as people of God, you have to be very careful what unresolved questions you allow to remain in your mind and just circulate. And be very careful who and how you express those questions to. Because they can cause a lot of damage. Well, I wonder about so-and-so. I wonder if pastor knows this. Or I wonder if they know that about them. Or I want, careful. Careful. None of us are perfect. And we all of us need to grow in grace. So be careful how you frame the question and to whom you frame the question. Because unresolved questions, I'm just telling you, be careful. Because it's easy to be offended and then offend. It's easy to get my toes stepped on at church and allow that to cause questions in my heart and in my mind, and I bring them home. And I discuss them, and I talk about them, and I pick up the phone and call somebody else and say, hey, can you believe this? Careful. You may not like it, but this is good. Careful. Unresolved questions. That nature can cause a lot of damage. And offended people, and this is why we got to be so careful not to be offended, because when we are offended, it causes more questions. We get offended. Well, if they really loved me, or they really cared about me, or they really wanted me there, if they really, well, they would do this. If they, and then all these questions begin to arise. That's what happens as a result of offense. That's why Jesus is so serious about offenses. It's that seed that's planted, and all of a sudden these thoughts are entertaining. These questions go on and on and on, and they're unresolved. And so they're considered, and they're contemplated, and they're conversed about with other people. I tell you, I know I'm teaching good when it's really, really quiet. Jesus prevented Peter from wrestling with unresolved questions. But we got to talk. You need to get these things off your chest, man. We need to discuss this. Because I don't want you to be offended. I don't want you to think ill. I don't want you to think that I'm not going to pay. We need to talk. And so he begins to ask the questions, of whom Do the kings of earth take custom or tribute of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. You know what Jesus is saying? Peter, there is no obligation to pay this tribute. Children are free. I'm not obligated to do this. Amazing how Jesus is just, Pete, I know what you're wrestling with, and I know what you're questioning, whether I should or whether I shouldn't, whether I have or I haven't. You're letting all these unresolved questions ferment in your mind. You're not careful, you're going to get drunk, if you will, on these questions, and they're going to cause you to stumble. Let me ask you some questions, Pete. Of whom do the kings of earth take tribute? Children of strangers. Well, Pete says, well, of strangers. Then are the children free, Pete? You need to understand, I'm not doing this because I'm obligated to do it. This is key. Pete, you need to understand, it's not that I have to do it. I'm not doing this because it's mandatory. I'm not doing this because it's obligatory. I'm not doing this because it's the law. It's custom. Expected, yes. Required, no. They expect me to do it. And Pete, you probably expect me to do it. But you need to know when I do it, it won't be out of obligation. It won't be because I am required or I have to. The children are free, Pete. I don't have to do this. It's not out of obligation. This is not a have-to thing. Often people remain offended if they feel we are responding out of obligation. Oh, well, yeah, they said sorry, but that's only because they had to. Oh, yeah, they made it right, but that's only because they had to. Oh, yeah, they came to me and we talked about it, but I could tell when they came to me. They didn't really want to come to me. They just felt like they had to. Think about it. And when it's done out of obligation, or we feel it's done out of obligation, it's easy to remain offended. Well, they may have done the right thing, but they did it the wrong way. So I'll retain my offense. Well, did they come? Yes, they came to me, but what they did it in a way that still wasn't right. Well, I've heard that before. And when people feel like we are responding out of obligation, even if we're doing what's right, if they feel like we're doing it not out of a love for them, just simply out of obligation, it does little, very little, to tear down the fence of offense. They just did it because they had to. Now let's take this a step further. When our walk in relationship with God is based upon obligation, amazing how easily we become offended. In our service for God, the things we're doing according, well, I do that because the Bible says so. Well, because Pastor told me I had to do that. See, if we're not careful with those questions and we don't get those things resolved, bitterness comes in, offense comes in, we begin to stumble. That's what offenses are. They're stumbling blocks. And we get offended. Well, I'm only doing this because I have to do this. I'm only doing this because so-and-so says it's mandatory. It's obligatory. Careful, because when I start considering those things and I want to walk down that path, it's treacherous. And I'm easily offended. And now I can find all the wrong and very little right. And the backsliding begins. Before long, even things that I did out of love, I no longer, now I feel that those too are obligations. No different than, say, a marriage relationship. Well, I'm just with them because I have to be here. what's going to happen with the family or kids. Careful. And it got real quiet in here. But relationship out of obligation leads to offense. And it builds fences in relationship. It builds fences in intimacy. I'm not talking about physical intimacy. I'm talking about heart-to-heart intimacy. Offended. I'm trying. It's not easy, but I'm trying. I'm trying my best in life, in relationship. I'm trying. Lord, don't let me be offended. Let me love. Let me understand it's not a personal attack against me. Help me to see through the facade and help me to see the spirit behind it and help me to war against that with the fruit. You want to know how to kill offense? You love it to death. You literally love it to death. You literally take the more powerful force of love and you just love it. It's hard for people to stay offended when you won't allow the offense to stick. It is. It's disarming. When they are intentionally asking questions and they are intentionally prodding you and barbing you and continually. And you're able to reach out in love. And you're able not to take. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But oh, what a difference it makes. Moving on. And so Jesus says this. Pete, I'm not doing it out of obligation. It's not a have-to thing. I am free. I don't have to do this. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend. I'm more concerned with not offending than I am with obligation. You need to understand that, Pete. It's not an obligation. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. This is what you need to do. Go to the sea, cast in a hook. The first fish that cometh up, be a coin in his mouth, money in his mouth, take. Now here's an interesting thing. The interesting thing is if you look at the Greek, when the collectors come and ask Peter if his master pays tribute, it is a Greek word is rachma. Rachma. That there is a double drachma, or a didrachma. Probably don't have the Greek right, but I looked it up. You can argue with me later if you'd like. I will not be offended. That's what they ask for. A double, yeah, she said it. That was the tribute. It was a half shekel. The tax, if you will, they call it the temple tax. But what Jesus says is you go, catch a fish, and now the Greek word is different. Now the Greek word actually means a tetradrachma, which is four. They required two. When you go pull up the fish, he's going to have a coin that's worth four. Go and give for me and thee. Notice something, Peter. They never ask you if you were paying tribute. They only ask if I was paying tribute. But this is how serious I am, lest we should offend. This is how much you need to understand, Peter, that I don't want to offend them. Lest we should offend, go and give them double. For me and thee. Kind of goes along with his teaching in Matthew chapter 5. Ye have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If he hits you on one, give him the other. If he takes you to court and he sues you for your coat, give him your cloak also. If he comes to you and asks, go with him a mile, go with him twain. you want to talk about some difficult stuff, that's some difficult stuff. But that's how serious Jesus is, lest we should offend. And so when you come over into chapter 18, and he says something like, lest you offend one of these little ones, it's better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck and you were cast into the midst of the sea. Now, here's what I've come to understand, and we're going to look at a little bit later on in the study. Why is Jesus focusing upon children so much? You want to know why? Because a lot of the minefields that we walk in relationship to one another in our adult life, they were planted as children. The offenses that we endured, the trauma, the abuses, the emotional stuff we went through as a child has laid a minefield in our mind. And when somebody comes and they step on it, boom, we blow up. And Jesus is saying, that's why I am so concerned with offenses. You need to understand they're powerful. Lest we offend, Peter, go out to the sea and cast a hook in. And when you bring up the fish, he's going to have double what they require. Give it to him. Not out of obligation. Not out of requirement. We're free. We don't have to do it, Pete. This is how serious I am, lest we should offend. Don't want to offend. Understand, there's a fine line there. I understand. The more we hold our values and the more that we hold to the biblical principles, the more likely it is that people who do not understand or people who do not know are going to seek to find offense. They're going to seek, man, they are going to. This is why it's so important. They're going to do everything in their power for your flesh to manifest itself, to give them credibility for them not to follow or them not to do what you are living out in your own life. When we become offended and we retaliate, we're not responding out of love. We will do very little, catch this, very little to tear down the walls and the fences between us and them. We got to love them to death. We got to be unoffendable. We got to make sure that we're not offending them. We've got to, lest we should offend. Let's go above and beyond. Let's go above and beyond in our response to them, in our show of love. That doesn't mean accepting what they do. It doesn't mean going out and do what they do. What it means is that we can still be who we are without being offended and love them for who they are in hopes that God will work on them as he's working on me. That's why we can't let anger get in the picture. We don't have the character to properly administer anger. We got to let it go. Not be offended in love. Smite you on the cheek, turn the other also. If he sues you for your coat, give him your cloak also. And if he asks you to go a mile, go with him twain. Pete, go catch a fish. It's going to be double in its mouth. Lest we should offend. In closing, you can stand to your feet. It is a beautiful lesson. It shows so many ways the loving character of God. Jesus was not only concerned with not offending the collectors, he didn't want Pete to remain offended. He wanted Pete to continue wrestling with unresolved questions. He wanted Pete to know, hey, bud, this is how much I care about this. This is how much I don't want to offend. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Go, catch a fish. And that fish's mouth is going to be double what they came and asked for. Because that is how serious I am about not offending. That's how much you and I, if we are going to be Christ-like, if we are going to call ourselves Christians, if we are going to name ourselves as followers of Christ, let's do what he did. Let's try in the best of our ability to emulate what he did. Not be offended. What would it be like if, now, I know I asked this question last week, but I'm going to continue to ask. What would it be like if it doesn't matter what they did or what they said, I just would not let it offend me? I would just keep reaching for them in love. I would just keep doing my level best through the power of God in my life to keep reaching for them, to see beyond the surface. Reach for them in love. No matter what they said, no matter how they tried to make me mad or angry or offend me, they ridiculed me. Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Yay. Don't be offended. And they mock you and they ridicule you and they make you feel less than what you should. Don't let it offend you. Be like Jesus. Lest we should offend, I'm going to go above and beyond. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, I love your word, God. So instructs us in righteousness. It so shows us the way, God. Do what you would have us to do to make sure that we are in this world but not of this world. That we can walk and rub shoulders with them, God, and interact with them on a daily basis but not be offended by them, God. As vile as they become, Lord, as the debauchery and the hedonism, God, begins to abound around about us, Lord, help us. Help us to remain true to who we are, God. And in the same, God, let us reach for the soul. Let us reach for them in love, not being offended, not being hurt, or allowing the ridicule, God, to reside within us, God. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.